This is anything but an ordinary Tuesday. Hundreds of thousands of federal employees are not reporting to work today across the country after the House and Senate in Washington, D.C. could not reach an agreement to keep the federal government operating at full capacity. Also today, the new health exchange enrollment, part of the unrolling of the Affordable Care Act, begins in Arkansas. This weekend, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas discussed those matters with John Brummett, a political columnist, read in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Roby asked him what to expect as the healthcare exchange becomes reality in Arkansas.
It's going to depend. It's going to be an administrative nightmare. Things are going to go wrong. People are going to not know what to do. The politicians are going to exploit the uncertainty. We had a big fal-de-rol about the Medicaid prescription drug benefit. People just outraged at how complicated it was to make the decisions. It's going to be exponentially worse than that. But for the moment, as we speak right now, I think the rates that were announced this week have sort of lessened the vitriol. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had a Republican legislator tell me that he's had some of his colleagues saying, "What's this? These aren't unreasonable. They seem okay." And for the time being, particularly with the subsidies, if people understand that,
right?
we had a front page story in the Democrat Gazette: Arkansas's rates are higher than the national average. Well, it's a matter of dollars, mm-hmm. not a matter of tens of dollars or hundreds of dollars. But then if you consider that we have an inordinately poor population that's going to get most of that rate subsidized, more than richer states, we'll be paying less. But everything requires two or three paragraphs just to get started. And our dialogue is usually about a mere phrases that's within sentences.
140 right. characters or but less for, but in many instances.
For the moment, to conclude that, I think that Obamacare had a good week in Arkansas. But I think Jay Bradford is right to warn this. When this thing opens October 1 and we go through to March and we're trying to sign people up, it's going to be chaos. There'll be chaotic moments. There will have to be. There always are on something this is something this massive.
Yeah. When you're talking earlier about the fact that these subsidies are going to kick in and people are going to really start seeing, I've used the analogy that it's kind of like we're on a car dealer's parking lot and you see all of the insurance plans or the different cars, and you got red ones and blue ones and black ones, and you got trucks and SUVs and compact cars, and then you got the sticker prices, or what we got this past week. We hadn't seen the dealer's discount rate yet, which is what happens when you plug in the exchange income numbers.
Yeah, and even the sticker prices for someone as well as formed as I'm supposed to be. I was telling a Republican legislator the other night, well, the one guy who's going to get hurt by this is me. You know, a 60-year-old self-employed guy who buys his own insurance is going to be, and I quote a figure, he said, "No, it's not. Turn a few more pages. You know, there's another bronze rate over here that's less." And I fancy myself as keeping up.
Right.
So take that and multiply it a couple of hundred thousand times, and it's going to be wild.
You rounding up to 60, aren't you? You're not quite there yet.
No, I'm rounding up for when. yes, thank you. I'm mere 59 years old, and thank you.
You wrote this past week in one of your political columns, "The remarkable political story is that you haven't heard much crowing about these rates from white right-wing obstructionists and extremists." We did hear a little bit towards the end of the week. The Americans for Prosperity pulled out some examples, did some things like that, but
not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about from the more outspoken right-wing legislators who opposed the private option in the beginning, and who were saying that when these rates come in and this turns out to be nonsense, that these rates are going to be as cheap as or possibly cheaper than traditional Medicaid, then the political climate is going to change. Those rates came out. They were less than the estimates. There's a very good opportunity. They are at most competitive with straight Medicaid, if not cheaper. They were largely silent. Yeah, the Koch brothers group, Americans for Prosperity, they're going to come out with something. Of course they are. I'm talking about the ones who will cast the votes and who might make, and particularly those who voted, Republicans who voted for it last time, who were looking that maybe they wouldn't vote to re-up it mm-hmm. because these prices are going to scare everybody. That's off the table, I think, for the moment. That's what I meant by that.
At least for the moment.
For the moment. Everything's for the moment.
Let's talk about staying in the health insurance silo, but let's move to teachers and their health insurance problems, or public school employees, actually. Raging debate this past week. There seems to be a lot of meetings going on to try to find a solution to this $53, $58 million deficit in the insurance plan, depending on who you talk to. Do you think that lawmakers are prepared to let those premium increases for those public school employees kick in at a higher rate and pay that political price? Or do you think at the end of the day they come up with a solution that will remedy this problem?
I don't see any way in the world these legislators or any legislators would be willing to sit idly by and say we can't do anything while rate increases of that magnitude affect already underpaid but still politically popular teachers. I think they got to solve it, and I think Governor Beebe knows they have to solve it, and he's trying to make it as untenable as possible. He's trying to say let's do it responsibly, because my best friend Jason Raper, he was the first one to jump out on this issue, and basically he said let's just go tap the surplus and plug in the money. And well, okay, what about the ongoing problem? What about the fact that you merely stop the bleeding for the moment and you don't reform the system? So it's a difficult issue. I can't tell you what the solution's going to be. Mm-hmm. I think what usually happens in this case is that Beebe is especially good at this, and his people, they're going around the sofa cushions of the Education Department and state government, and they're finding money here and there. Well, look here,
$5
what
million,
we got.
$8 million,
we got something over here.
Million.
We squirrel this away.
Right.
We can use that. And we'll put some of that together, augment it with some of the surplus money, and then we're going to have to change the plans. The state has to put in more recurring money, school districts have to ante up more consistently, and the gold plan is not going to be as gold as it has been. I think all of that has to happen, and I think it has to happen politically.
Let's talk about moving to federal issues, something that brought the prior cotton race into center stage, and that is the federal government shutdown, showdown going on up in Washington, D.C. We actually saw some side of John Bozeman, supposedly, at least reportedly.
We didn't get to see it.
I know, but he accosted Ted Cruz in private over his filibuster stand. Who gets the political advantage in this showdown that's going on right now? Is it Pryor or is it Cotton?
Well, they're working hard. Each camp is working hard to make sure it's the other side that gets the political disadvantage. You ask me, I'll tell you. If this government shuts down, the blame will accrue to the Republicans. It simply will. All the polls show that. It will be true that the president could have made some concession and avoided the shutdown if it happens, but that concession would have required him to abandon his centerpiece policy without a vote to repeal it. It is untenable, it is unreasonable to think that he and the Democrats would compromise that. The Republicans have only the House, they don't have the Senate, they don't have the White House. They're not in a position to do anything other than obstruct, and I think the people get that. I think if we shut down, and then if worse than that, we default on debt, it is a political implosion for the Republicans. I really believe that it is.
But you think the general public has basically been able to determine that it's an obstructionist attitude, that
I mean, there are those, the more ideological people who simply believe that as a matter of virtue, you must oppose Obamacare in any way that you can, but that's maybe 10% of the electorate. That's the Tea Party extreme. Basically, people want government to work, and I believe the coalescing spot where the people want their government to be right now is, okay, I can see where this Obamacare might do a little good if we fixed it. Why don't you Republicans stop trying to kill it and make it better? I think I could be wrong.
You've never been wrong before.
Well, it'd be one of the few times. But I think that's a politically popular position, because I think there is, while there's a plurality opposed to, quote, Obamacare, I think an approach of let's make it work. Let's find out what's most absurd about it, most unfair about it, most costly about it, and most unjust about it, most chaotic about it, and let's emphasize that, because people are pretty resigned. They're starting to get it. We're going to get it.
John Brummett is a political columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. He talked to Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas this weekend before it was certain the federal government would halt. You can hear more at talkbusiness.net. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/small business. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.